So Luke, last week I talked about my friend who was going to come over and we were going to work on his WordPress site. Well, that happened. And how do you think it went? Like me getting into a WordPress install that I haven't touched for a couple of years. And
knowing you, Jonathan, it went swimmingly and you have nothing but good news to report.
I had a good time actually. But I am a little bit worried about the things that I found joy in, which was like updating out of date plugins. There's a lot of them.
Oh yeah. Well, no, I find that joyful too. I think people like you and me get a kick out of, I don't know, cleaning things up and tidying up. It's a different matter when you're trying to set up a site from scratch.
That's fair.
And when you have a vision in your head for how you want it to be, then that's when things can get sometimes a bit more frustrating.
Well, what was perhaps the more concerning part to that experience was the degree to which I just clicked the buttons, a little bit of the YOLO, like, yeah, update, sure. Three point releases.
All right.
Let's go for it. It's going to be fine. Partly because I had backups and partly because probably subconsciously I was confident that I could fix whatever happened. But yes. It felt a little bit like living on the edge, clicking those updates as I went along.
Yeah, who needs a staging server, right? Did you wear your cowboy hat?
It did. I did not actually wear the cowboy hat, but metaphorically, it was on my head.
Do you own a cowboy hat?
I don't. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
You have to be Texan to own a cowboy hat?
You don't have to be, but that does tend to be where the cowboy hats come in. Yeah, it was good though, because if you recall, as we were talking last time, where I was at the time was like, am I even going to keep him on WordPress? Is this like more hassle than it's worth? Most of the time was spent updating the contact form and improving, because he has a local business that like puts insulation in the houses, right? So it's a pretty, like it's an important business. It's growing and the site just needs to do a job to give information and then collect interests and have a form that works. And I was able to do some improvements. I found some leads that had gotten trapped. Akismet usually does a good job, but it was false flagging a couple of them.
Oh, really? Yep. Interesting.
Which was interesting. And also just showing him more about how it worked, that there wasn't just an email copy of each lead. There's actually an entry in the database there. And at the end of it, yeah, I felt good. The site was cleaned up, got rid of a bunch of plugins that it didn't need, updated them, and it's continuing to work nicely.
Sounds fantastic. A friend of mine has a business that basically, it's called Yakka, right? Y-A-K-K-A. Have you heard of this slang, Australian slang before?
I haven't. Enlighten me, please.
We say, I just got to put in a bit of hard Yakka. It means hard work. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know what it means other than work. And so this website, what he's done is genius. He's just set up a WordPress site for tradespeople. What would you say in American words?
I actually know the word, but I have tradies stuck in my head now. So it's not coming to me. like tradespeople. I don't know. It's escaping me, but these are people who do like plumbers, electricians.
Chippies, sparkies, that sort of thing.
And carry on.
So basically it is WordPress under the hood, but he's taken WordPress out of it for the customer. So they sign up. They see a form where they can put in all of their site details and they put their email address in to receive inquiries. And he just spins up a theme and makes a few color adjustments automatically, right? It's all happening. He doesn't manually do any of
this. When you say automatically, is that pun intended via like Jetpack or something else? Or okay.
No pun intended. And basically, it's kind of like a Wix website targeted at tradies, but it's built using WordPress under the hood.
Nice. Okay.
Something like that would be good for your mate.
Yeah.
Send
me a link afterwards. I'd love to check it out. I'm curious, Luke, what have you heard, if anything, about WordCamp Asia and what's been going on there?
There's a part of me that is a bit upset that I didn't go this year. And so it's been avoiding news.
That's fair.
There's a part of me, I'll be honest with you, Jonathan.
Please.
I think it was 2 days ago. The thought occurred to me, WordCamp Asia. I'll just go and check reddit.com/r/WPDrama and, you know, see if anything happened. And nothing, nothing really in particular stood out to me there. So I suppose that's a good thing.
Sure. You probably would have enjoyed it. A lot of great folks made it out. I've only heard good things, that it was well organized. There was a lot of, but mostly I'm hearing from people who are just happy to be connecting with others again. Apparently there were sponsors got to speak this time, like during the lunch portion that I'm aware of. This hasn't happened before, where during the lunch portion, they were given small slots and they could talk about whatever they wanted to. I'm sure that there were rules and guidelines, but from what I heard, it was like, it's a new thing.
That's a great idea. Like, so I'm just reacting. I didn't know this.
Sure.
Right? I'm reacting directly, but my first reaction is that it's a great idea. We should enhance the sponsorship package.
Yeah.
And because I am in favor of limiting sponsors to people who have active Five for the Future contributions.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. People who are active contributors. And if you're not an active contributor, if you don't pass a certain threshold, which should be, you know, clearly well documented and well defined, then you should not be allowed to sponsor a WordCamp. I think that's a completely reasonable take, maybe one that Matt should have taken in the first place.
I don't think, I'm not inclined to agree with that. But what I do like about what you're suggesting is, if the intention is that WordCamp sponsorship is a privilege or a reward, if you will, for contribution, then we really should lean more on let's not let the only reward be that we'll take your money.
Yes.
And give them more benefits, right? So in that sense, I like it. What I've seen separately from this is, I think that there's value for sponsorship being a first step for a business into the community.
You've said that before. I knew you were going to say that. There's surely better ways. I mean, yes, as somebody who wants to get more involved in the community, they can just throw money at the problem and go, oh, look, we'll just sponsor. That way we're getting more involved in the community. But I think it's equally, if not more effective, to look for somebody who is looking for a sponsored contribution. It'll be cheaper for the sponsor, probably. So look for somebody who is already a contributor and sponsor them to contribute more often. And that person should then be able to give them updates on what's happening in the community, introduce them to other folks in the community. And through that method, you're actually making a real impact on the code base and, you know, whatever area you're contributing to, as opposed to,
well,
enabling WordCamps, I guess.
I'm biased from some of my more direct experiences. Like, yeah, for sure. There's people who put money into sponsorships and, like, that's really it. There's not much thought behind it. I also recall the first time that Hostinger went to WordCamp, that was like their entrance into the community. They've continued to sponsor each time. They've also ramped up their contributions. Like, they're doing a lot of things, and this opening for them was jump in.
I understand what you're saying. You're saying they came into contributions through WordCamps.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying, though, is it doesn't have to be that way.
Sure.
They could have had it in the opposite order, right? They could have started with contributions and paying people to work on WordPress and then entered into the community through WordCamps as a secondary step.
I agree with you there. I just argue that for most people, that's just not an obvious starting point. So it perhaps is an ideal, but that's not how would you know that unless you were connected to someone who could point you in that direction? What we can both agree on is that the more incentives that could be offered to WordCamp sponsorship, whether it's a privilege or not to get access to sponsorship, the better. Like, let's give more rewards to folks who do decide to do it.
I think also we can do a lot more to advertise people who are looking for contributions, right?
Yeah.
If you want to be a better contributor, and I think this is a failing of Five for the Future, as much effort has been put into this, there should be there should be a website just called fttf.org or whatever. And it should just have, here is a list of activities that you can do to contribute to WordPress. If you are an organization, here is a list of people who are looking for contribution support. You know, if you are a contributor, these are the teams that need support at the moment the most. If you speak other languages, this is, you know, if this is such an important thing for the project, and it is, it should be, it's an important thing, then we should have really clear messaging, really obvious benefits, and very clear first steps defined for anyone to be able to access.
I'll just say again, too, that this is something I'm still developing, but if I'm talking to a company about contribution to WordPress, I will often make a point of saying that I don't think that they should do it from any place of altruism. Mm. I want them to see that they benefit from contributing, that there's real world value. And that can take a number of different perspectives based on whether they're like an agency versus a hosting company versus like a product company. Like the benefits can be different, but I want folks to see that we're not asking for your charity. Like there's real world value to being involved in the project. And where people often get stuck, if a resource like that existed, it'd probably make it a lot easier. If someone talks to you or me, Luke, they talk to Tammy, if someone like in the project, like we can point them in the right direction and help close that gap. Ooh, you should sponsor this, or you could get involved here. But it's not that straightforward if you don't know who to talk to or where to look. And it would be a lot, it'd be nice to lower that barrier of entry.
Yeah. Unfortunately, until recently, the ability to measure directly the real world value sure. is been difficult. So yeah, appealing to altruism, I think, can be just as effective. The concept is that you don't want to appeal to altruism because you want the contributions to be sustainable
yes.
over time,
yes.
right? And some altruism now may not translate to altruism 2 years from now, but the same goes for immeasurable benefits. The same goes for things that, you know, if I can't see 2 years from now, why are we doing this? What benefit do we get from it? And you might have a list, but I go, oh, but how do we know if that's happening? It's still not sustainable. Thankfully, now we do have a very, very clear benefit that is directly measurable, which is Matt Mullenweg is far less likely to attack us.
Okay. Okay.
You know, like I think a lot of people are upping their contributions out of fear. I'm not joking. Like I really do think that.
Sure. Man. Okay. So speaking about Matt, there, one of the news items that's happened since you and I spoke last is that there's a movement around this class action lawsuit led by this guy named Ryan Keller. I'm still like, I've only like dipped my toes into the water of like understanding the details about what's going on, but there's been some extensive coverage on Ars Technica. The repository was covering it, as did Search Engine Land. And I'm curious to see where this goes, of course. But I think there's, I don't know. It's and of course, Matt has not been silent about this. I was looking on some of his posts on X, and I think he seems like he's calmed down a lot of the rhetoric, but this is very much a going concern. Have you had a chance to see any of the coverage yourself?
Yeah, I had a bit of a look. What's interesting to me about this is, well, he's complaining. He's done a lot of complaining about, well, we don't have enough money to put into WordPress contributions because of all of these lawsuits,
right.
And it's WP Engine's fault.
Right.
It's these people who, it's the fault of the people who are suing me. And so what's different and interesting about a class action suit is that it's not one person
right.
suing him. It's a whole heap of individuals. And that's hopefully it's got to be hard to wrap your head around. A lot of people are angry at me and are suing me all at once.
Well, and if I understand correctly, part of this is an invitation for it to become a class action if it's approved,
right.
At which point a lot of people could get behind it, which is part of what makes it serious. What stood out to me, though, in the Ars Technica piece was the subheadline, "Automatic could harm the entire internet." That would have really surprised me as a subheadline to show up in a piece about Automatic anytime in the past couple of years, at least for me. So to see that sentiment shift, like that's a big deal where Automatic has gone from their positioning is we're working to build like a better web. And now they're being put in the same sentence as like Automatic is like a potential threat to the internet. And that's definitely concerning.
You said sentiment shift, and that's interesting. It's something we talked about last episode that we're maybe not so sure about what the sentiment is around WordPress, but I think there's one thing that we can be sure of, which is that for those people who know the name Automatic, the sentiment is certainly down.